mine and yours. And you don't want no pressure, what but a backup and withdrawal. Cause trust me when I tell you, you don't want that you can claw. And you don't wanna see inside of my... Chapter 77. Come on, guys, let's find a ghost, Sokka muttered to himself. Lifted his lantern to scan the corners of yet another echoing, empty room. Moonlight would be fine to search any normal building, but an air temple? Full moon or not, he wasn't going to chance that a shadow was only a shadow, and not a hole plunging a neck-breaking distance to the waves below. Why doesn't someone hit me when I come up with these things? Well, Aang had thought it was a great idea. Katara was up for anything that made Aang happy, and Zuko seemed darkly convinced that finding a ghost wouldn't get him in any more trouble than not finding a ghost. About which, Sokka had to admit, he had a point. Zuko was an exile, and technically a traitor, and even if this wasn't officially part of the Fire Nation, it was close enough that it wouldn't matter. Anyone who caught him had the right to execute him on the spot. Finding a ghost who'd saved his life so he could say thanks could only increase Zuko's odds. Meaning the only sane person in the whole temple was Toph, who'd stayed back with Appa to tap her feet on the floor and wait. If she wanted to find her, he would. If she didn't want anyone to find him, well, hopefully they'd know that by morning. With luck, not in a painful way. Now, if Sokka could just get his heart to slow down and believe that... We can split up and cover more ground, Sokka grumbled, retreating back to the corridor to check the next twisty room. Salt and mold twitched his nose as his boots stirred old dust on the floor. Yeah, just like we did with Hama. Great idea. Something was wrong with the shadows. Lantern in his left hand, Sokka reached for his sword. Huh, found the Dawn Prayer Hall. Zuko had tried to take a section of the temple he'd explored before, 3 years and a lot of pain ago. He hadn't expected to recognize it. A long, columned hall, half-carved out of the cliff wall, with odd ferns as gray-green splotches in the moonlight. The other half was open to sea air, with a few thin domes of verdigris still hanging in a few of the arches. Wind chimes, Zuko realized, struck by memories a lifetime away. He could see in his mind's eye how the hall would have looked a century ago. Bright, polished copper domes of wind chimes in every other pillared arch. A rainbow of ribbons dangling down. Carved wooden prayers clinking together in the breeze's own music. Red to let angry thoughts flow away in the wind. Green to draw in health for the gardens and mothers. Yellow and orange for the wind spirits. Blue and white to bind new life and sever ties when it was time. Fragile, perishable prayers. The nuns thought even the most heartfelt wish needed to be renewed and strengthened. The mind rededicated to the temple's stern principles year after year, decade after decade, life after life. And there were more practical reasons as well. Here, the nuns could bring their nursing young to greet the first rays of dawn, stretching tiny fists to the sunlight. If baby fingers and bending yanked on wood and ribbons, it never hurt to make a prayer twice. Aang's children won't know this. Oh, Aang might know about the wind chimes, especially if he asked the Yamabushi. But the hues the nuns had used for each tamed desire, the traditions passed from mother to adoptive daughter and granddaughter, how generations of women had walked this hall with storm-restless little airbenders. Everyone who remembers that life is dead, Zuko swallowed, lantern light flickering. Even me. The temples had been shifting. The temples had been wrong, locking the minds and hearts of air into forms more and more alien to the rest of the world. Any one of a dozen chiefs or kings might have raised their hands against the nomads if they dared,
if Sozin hadn't beaten them to it. But even the most mind-bent air nomad elder was still human. And so many of those here hadn't been elders. They'd been mothers, sisters, children. We did what we could, saved what we could. Sometimes everything burns. And he refused to feel guilty because one teenage firebender and an ancient, cranky dragon child hadn't been enough to save the world. Kuzan, Timul, everyone who'd risked their lives to help, even with every hand against them, they'd tried. Zuko had to laugh, low and wry, remembering Timul's chill presence as blood mixed with the rain. And damn if we didn't go out in style. I died with a friend and an honorable man to remember me. Not a bad way to go. Not like what Sozin had unleashed here. Not at all. And damn it, that was definitely not his fault. He hadn't taught innocent women and children to make themselves easy to kill. Aang thinks life is precious, Zuko muttered. Someone's got to get through to him. Death is precious too. A whisper of wind, or maybe cloth against leather. He didn't glance that way, listening, smelling. A slosh of water and leather, and he looked into cold blue eyes. Oh, wonderful. Sword drawn, Sokka moved it slowly toward the rippling light. Trust your instincts, Timul had said one night, in the middle of kicking his butt yet again. Those hairs are on the back of your neck for a reason. If something feels off, you travel with the Avatar, young man. Assume there's a spirit until you have a good reason to believe otherwise. You avoid more horrible lingering deaths that way. Your tribe says waterbenders are closer to the spirits. That's true. Spirits are energy. Chi is energy. And nothing in life comes free. Anyone who moves energy, benders, swordsmen, onmitsu, dragons, is vulnerable to energy. Energy against energy. Spirits win. So what do you do to fight a spirit, young man? You come from a tribe of survivors. You know this. How does a poor, weak human, a mere scrap of energy wrapped in blood and bone, fight a tsunami? Think. You use tools, Sokka thought now, positioning dark, polished space metal so it reflected the waves below. Like the chief's special fishing hook Dad catches fish for the ocean with, so the rest of the catch is ours. Like Grand-Grand's basket weaves that make illness spirits follow the maze so they won't make it past a people. Spirits were energy. They beat people with energy, stomping human chi into submission the way Toph would powder an annoying fortress wall. But they couldn't do that if they couldn't touch it. That's why Sozin and the other Fire Lords kept stomping on belief in spirits, Sokka realized. If you don't know they're there, it's harder for them to get at you. Like the Painted Lady. As long as the jerk running the factory didn't believe, she couldn't hit him hard. Not without help. He believed in spirits. Flying around the world with Aang, you couldn't not believe in spirits. Especially after you'd KO'd a knowledge spirit with a book. So if he'd looked right at whatever was out there, he opened a hole in his defenses, just like lowering his blade in a sword fight. If Sokka saw it, it could see him. But if he looked at its reflection... White sparkled in the moonlight above the waves, fine as diamond dust. Sokka's heart thudded, quick and painful. It's not cold enough for diamond dust. It never got cold enough for diamond dust. Not in the Fire Nation. Maybe on top of Mount Shiratora, in a really cold year. This close to warm ocean water? Not possible. And when you had frozen water where you shouldn't, then you had waterbending. Katara bent water for combat, not to be pretty. Aang probably didn't even know what diamond dust was, and neither of them had any reason to be down there. Idiot, I'm missing one. Except Zuko had no reason to be down there either, and plenty of good reasons not to be down there. Katara was trying to be civil, but Sokka had vivid memories of what happened the last time she'd had Zuko cornered with his back to the ocean. He kind of doubted Zuko had forgotten it. Besides, Zuko probably had even less clues about Diamond Dust than Aang did. Firebenders hated cold. So if it's not them, then what? Something sinuous slipped through the waves. That can't be as big as it looks. Except that red spider thing that had gone after Toph had been plenty big, and Hei Bai had been even bigger, and oh, frost it. I've got to find Aang. So if there's some reason you're stuck here, Aang summed up, scratching behind Momo's ears, we thought, well, maybe we could help you out. It was kindly meant. Seated on the edge of the balcony in the moonlight, one sandaled foot swinging free, the ghost smiled. But I'm not bound here by violence, young one. I wait as a guardian until the time is right. Oh, well, that was good. Kind of. So when will the time be right? Aang ventured. She's eyes danced. Traditionally, a family ghost lingers until one's children have grandchildren. So there were rules about this. That was kind of neat. Wait a minute. You've been here over 100 years. No, she said thoughtfully. I have been here less than 19 years, I believe. He grinned. But there is truth to what you say. One of my offspring is taking a very long time to do his filial duty. No kidding! Aang shook his head, amazed. Why haven't you pestered him into doing what's right? I mean, I didn't get it before, but clans are serious to the Fire Nation, right? First, because pestering someone into good behavior rarely lasts, she stated, leaning back against empty air. Second, he has at last found a strong lady to stand beside, so I believe that difficulty will solve itself. Eventually. Third, because he has been very busy, and one would not wish to place yet another burden on his shoulders. But fourth, and most important of all, the lady I took to wife was born and raised an Air Nomad, and her son likewise. How could I ask him to be bound by teachings he did not know, and heart ties he does not feel? As well ask young Toph to break a bargain she has made, or the young lord to turn his back on his people. A ghostly finger tapped Aang's nose. Or those two of the southern tribe to turn you away when you are in need, after they have declared you family. It could be done. Humans are capable of impossible courage, but it would break their hearts. She settled back onto the balcony. What would break your heart, young one? Had you wished all your friends to find me, you would have brought them here. You did not, so... Aang swallowed, petting warm fur. The lemur's fingers brushed his shaved head, tickling his ear. I'm still scared. Which was maybe a silly thing to say to a ghost. I don't want to do this. I don't want to firebend or to face Fire Lord Ozai or the Face Stealer. I wish I could just run away. She sighed. And here I cannot be kind, as much as I might wish it, Aang. The peril you face, the danger to the whole world, much of it is because many people did run away, and have run away for centuries. Doing the right thing, it costs one. Sometimes only a moment's discomfort. Sometimes a lifetime hunted and afraid, ever looking over one's shoulder for the blades of those you have defied. Sometimes everything. Theon Mitsu shook his head. It is not fair. So many failed to do what was right when it was easier, and now the weight of those failures buries you. He lifted his gaze, determined. But know this, Aang. You are stronger than you fear, because you are afraid, and yet you act. A steady nod. That is courage. But if you don't think it's going to work, Aang shrugged. That's not courage. That's just stupid. Dark brows went up. Was Xiao stupid? Well, yeah, Aang flung up his hands. Killing the moon? That would have put the whole world out of balance. And it took out waterbending and... She's smile was wry. One would remind you that both those outcomes would have favored Zhao, would they not? But it was wrong, Aang protested. It was evil, the ghost acknowledged. If evil always meant stupidity, your task would not be so difficult, would it? Aang, always, always know that your enemies have their own reasons. If you can find those reasons, you may be able to persuade them that your plan is the wiser and will, over time, allow them to reap the most benefit. And if that is possible, then they may no longer be enemies. Okay, except that didn't make sense. Didn't people just know a good idea when they heard one? Whoops. Katara tried to tell me that, Aang admitted. Face red. She said I should try to master the elements first, not use General Fong's plan with the Avatar State. He scrunched his shoulders, frustrated. But I just wanted the war to stop. It is never wrong to wish people free of hatred and pain, she agreed. But what we wish must be tempered by what we know we can do and cannot. Was Roku stupid? Because Avatar or not, he had been going up against a volcano, and apparently even the world spirit had trouble with volcanoes. But Tamine and his family had gotten away, so, I don't know. Heh. She folded his arms and gave Aang a knowing look. Were your two southern water friends stupid to go with a young student across an entire world at war, knowing the Avatar would be hunted and hounded by the entire Fire Nation? But Katara believed in me, Aang argued. And did her belief make her peril less? She asked, very quiet. Or more? Aang swallowed. Why didn't he know what to say? Katara wasn't stupid. Aang! Sokka skidded out onto the balcony. Oh, good. Toph was right. You're here. We've got trouble. Trouble? Aang bounced to his feet, glad to get away from prickly questions. What kind of... On the other side of the temple, fire roared. Ozai's sun, lit by flames. How appropriate. Katara? Zuko loosened his grip on the handle of his lantern, probably so she wouldn't see that he'd been ready to toss it at her, oil and all, spinning out ribbons of flame to wrap her in pain. She knew the thought had crossed his mind, more than once. After all, if you want to hurt him, and water never hurts its own, how much more must he want to hurt you? But he looked away, as if she weren't even worth noticing. He'll regret that. Did Sokka have a better idea where to look for Shi? Zuko had the lantern up again, looking toward where long-ago builders had gnawed into the cliff. Or did you get turned around? This place is a maze if you don't have a good map. I wonder if they thought that was part of the fun.
You think they built a sacred place for fun?
Katara cut him off. Even in the windless heat of a summer night, she could feel the temple's power. What it would be like in the autumn storms, with winds ready to airbend her hands. It must have been incredible. And he destroyed it. Well,
not Zuko directly, but close enough. They had ball courts, air cake cook-offs, and calligraphy competitions. Zuko shrugged. So, yeah? You know Aang. He thinks the world exists to have fun. So, Katara stalked forward, hearing the soft clink of the verdigris dome hanging from a ragged chain. All this ruin because of Firebender's arrogance. Why shouldn't it? Zuko eyed her and faded back down the hall to what he probably thought was a safer distance. That sounds really weird coming from you. You think I don't know how to have fun? Toph thought so. Sokka thought so. Even Aang thought so. It made her feel cold inside, ready to prove them all wrong. Yes, let's have some lovely fun. I think we're looking for a ghost in a deserted temple so Aang can feel better about Sokka's plan to go find a firebending teacher. Zuko was frowning. Fun isn't exactly what comes to mind. What, the Fire Nation didn't tell ghost stories for fun? Oh, that was right. They wouldn't. Their ghosts were too malevolent for that. Such as the one who lairs here, keeping those powers who would help you at bay. You give so much to them all. Don't you deserve help? And they hold it from you. Destroyed, not deserted, Katara snapped, advancing again. Honestly, no wonder Toph and Aang were confused. Fire didn't care about sacredness or respect. Zuko only cared about something if he could use it. No wonder the younger children didn't know how to face him. You know they didn't just leave. Protect the children. Deserted. Zuko's voice was so calm it grated. As in, nobody lives here right now. Not like the Northern Temple, or that really weird guy at the Eastern Temple. Who in their right mind drinks banana onion? He stopped, Scar sucking up the light like a hungry shadow. Katara, are you feeling okay? It's been a long night. She eyed him right back, unable to believe his attitude. People died here, horribly, and you don't even care. What the heck are you? Zuko lowered the lantern, face hard-edged by shadows. I didn't do this. No. Keep moving, keep pushing. Water never failed. It might freeze, it might puff away as mist, but it was never destroyed. Not like fire. You just didn't stop it. Water against fire, water wins, as it should. Water is home, is family, and family's never evil. It can't be. That was hundreds of years ago. Zuko snapped, stepping a little sideways, away from the arches, away from the water. How old do you think I am? He's afraid of me. Why would he be afraid if he hasn't done anything wrong? Unless he just hasn't done it yet. I knew it. I knew we couldn't trust him. You can never trust fire. It sears and scorches and cooks. Cooks away the lovely salt blood. Oh, let's show him what fun really is. No, she'd make him confess first. Aang would want that. Old enough to know your great-grandfather was a murderer. Now he'll attack me. Now, and I'll just be defending myself. Zuko blinked at her. Which one? I've got four. They all killed people. Be a little more specific. She'd expected evil. She'd expected rage. But this? Jaw-dropping. She took half a step back, hand near the safety of her water skin. You're not even ashamed of it. Zuko kept staring, lowered his brows as if wondering why she was even asking. Are you? What? Water tribe chieftains usually kill at least one guy to prove they're man for the job.
Zuko went on, as if he didn't know every word was acid. And that's just in your tribes. Ask some historians what the blue sails meant to people before Sozin's war. He shrugged. My ancestors were warriors. I know that. Sozin was a monster. Kuzan was a spy. Trust me, he didn't make it to his 90s by being nice. I don't even have a name for Shidan's father, but he was a dragon. That kind of says everything. And don't get me started on Roku. Roku? She couldn't have heard that right. She couldn't have. Liar, you know he's lying. Fire always lies. Sokka said that too. Zuko rubbed the side of his head, looking out at moonlit water. Azulon married Ila, one of Roku's daughters, so everybody in my family who's still alive is blood-related to an idiot avatar. I think that explains a lot. He grimaced. She's not here. Maybe we should search somewhere else. There's something weird about... You're lying! So easy to reach out and squeeze. A crook of arm and hand sees the red running through hidden veins, stopping those hateful, evil words. You're lying! She'd stopped his heart. She'd stopped his heart! Can't breathe, can't move, can't firebend. Focus. You don't need breath. Not if you've got... Fighting for every twitch of his fingers, Zuko let the lantern drop. Pull it, slap her, distract her. What the hell is she doing? Flame spun and slashed at her, pulled from lantern and oil. She flinched. I can breathe. It just wasn't doing any good. His lungs were dragging in air, his heart was beating, but the world was narrowing in as if neither of those were true. Vision flashing as red as if he were trapped in a burning building, and all of the strength his blood carried was smoke. Blood. He could feel his heartbeat, feel his breath, but he couldn't feel his pulse. She stopped my blood. How? Flame sizzled and died as Katara flicked her water over the lantern wick. She's going to kill me. He'd done deep dives before, but only with the chance to breathe first. Everything was fading from red to black, the way it had one horrible night, when a satin pillow had pushed down with Azula's implacable determination. I will not die here. Moss in the shadowed corners. Where there was moss, there was water. He raked air toward him with both hands, yanking threads of moisture from night-chilled stone. Not enough to fight with. But no matter how homicidal a bender might be, it was hard to ignore a palm full of water crawling up your nose. His pulse thundered back into motion, light surging back into the world. He wanted to run. He desperately wanted to run, to put distance between himself and whatever insanity had possessed Katara this time. But you don't need to see water to bend it. Which meant whatever she'd done to halt his blood in its tracks, his blood, Agni, what the hell was that? Then the moment she got a chance to think, Zuko punched fire at her, deliberately flashy, as Katara clawed water off her face. The waterbender snarled, a sudden handful of ice slapping flames away. He whipped out a thin bolt of blazing heat, searing past her hip, right through thick leather. You fight like you train. Katara had trained herself with that water skin for months. She scooped her arms up to gather escaping water, focused on her damaged weapon. Keep her focused on that instead of the whole ocean down there. For a moment, he was drowning. The tribe casts you out, waves whispered at him. The chieftain's daughter has decided. Let go, let it end for the good of the tribe. Wrong tribe, bastard. Zuko breathed flames, walling his mind off from water. Oh, Agni, it wasn't all her fault. Something had gotten to her. The way the Haimajiao had pulled Amaya under. Katara raised a hand and the waves rose with it. Impossibly tall, more white foam than water. For a moment, he could almost hear Toph's voice. Sparky, this is gonna suck. It was like trying to squash a flea gnat. The moon was with her. The ocean was with her. If she could connect once, Zuko would be bloody paste on the stones. But he wouldn't stop moving. Fire flashed out to knife through her waves, scalding her arms, searing her dress to tatters. She hissed and healed herself in an instant. But that was yet another moment she couldn't bind his blood. And when she raised her hands to seize his puppet strings, whips of flame snapping at her fingers so she had to flinch out of the form, tangling and coalescing to snare her in a fiery net. Katara! Zuko's voice crackled like the flames. There's something in the sea out there. I think it's a spirit. It's trying to get at you, at any waterbender. Remember Yugoda's training. Get your chi out of the ocean before... Stupid, I've seen this before. She clutched her arms to her chest before the net could close, armoring herself in a torrent of seawater. Flame hissed into steam, snuffed in an instant. Now, seawater crackled into ice, solid as iron. What? Zuko stepped into the moonlight, hands still up in a form she knew all too well. Pushing wave? That's not possible. Northern Bender, Snow Child, kill it, kill it, kill it! He's going to kill me! Katara breathed out, sacrificing her breath to melt her arms free, splitting her icy prison with a desperate shrug. Water surged, knocking Zuko off his feet. Enemy of the tribe, die! Her spray of ice needles sizzled in a desperate overhead kick of flames. Zuko whirled to his feet, a ring of fire rising about them both. It was like being splashed with boiled water. The world narrowed down to a blinding white of pain. What am I doing? Wind roared. Katara, are you okay? No, what was he thinking? She wasn't okay. Her dress was all burned and her water skin had been seared through and there were ashes everywhere. Aang reached to hug her, stopped, and waved a hand in front of her face. Katara was blinking like she wasn't sure he was there, like she wasn't sure anything was there. And thinking was as hard as putting thoughts together up where the air was so thin, even the condor geese didn't hang around. The air wasn't anywhere near that dangerous, but Toph was screaming. Did kind of make it hard to think. As did the grim look he was getting from Sokka as the young tribesmen gripped Toph by one shaking shoulder. Momo had already jumped off Sokka's shoulder, scampering back out of the room, ears lowered as if he wanted to hide. Aang, Sokka said. Aang, we need to... Whatever it is, we'll get to it later, Aang said impatiently. Katara, how bad did he burn you? After everything Zuko had said about wanting to stop the war, and he thought Zuko was telling the truth about wanting to help. How could he have been so wrong? We'll get some water up here. You'll be okay. No water! Katara shrank back. There's something in the water down there, Aang. It was using the moon. It snuck inside my head and made everything twist around. I should have known it was wrong, but I didn't. I just went after him. He tried to stop me, even when I reached out and... Then the fire circle burned, but it burned that sneak more, and then I heard you... Aang closed the distance between them, shaking his head. Fire's scary, but you've got to think. Come on, Katara, you never go after people. Even Zuko. But I did. She was staring past his shoulder, eyes huge. Aang, what did you do? What did I do? He blinked at her and glanced that way. Katara, Zuko was trying to... The columns were gone. Shards of their tops remained, like ragged teeth of stone. The rest, columns, railing, rust-rotted chains, all had been swept away, like one of the great whirlwinds had touched down in the prayer hall, shredding it with claws of storm, before carrying shattered remains out over an abyss of empty air. There was red and black and fire against the stone before it. No, he couldn't have done that. This has to be some kind of horrible mistake. With a tortured squeak, a last bit of corroded copper broke loose and fell. Toph wasn't screaming anymore, just shaking under Sokka's hand, fists loose as if the master bender didn't know if she wanted to smash him with a boulder or just open up a hole and drop away from the world. Her face was dead white. Feet like lead, Aang trudged to the ragged edge wind had left behind. Below, way, way too far below, wind-raised foam still edged the waves, casting back glints of the setting moon. The water was black and empty. He's not down there, Aang managed. You wouldn't see him if he was, Sokka's voice had no give in it. Somebody that thin doesn't float. But that didn't make sense. If you didn't float, you'd be fighting your way to the surface because everybody needed to breathe. No. I didn't mean to. But you did. Katara shuddered, hand in front of her face like she thought she was going to be sick. We did. We killed him. Shaking loose from Sokka's hand, Toph fled. Sparky's gone. Toph curled deeper into her self-carved cave, face hugged to her knees. Zuko's gone. It's not fair. May one join you? A sense of presence against stone, weightless yet obviously there. Many tears have stained these stones. Toph wiped at her face with a grubby hand. I'm not crying, I'm mad. Ah, then that makes two of us. The ghost still had no weight, but Toph felt shifts in stone as she's energy chilled it. One's temper is stretched, very thin at the moment, she went on. A spider web can still prevail against a hurricane, if it is only wind, but if the web is poked. A long sigh. I should have warded the temple better. I knew the currents had brought death and pain from the north, and the invasion would only have roiled matters further. In truth, I did ward the temple. A pause. Against spirits. Toph swallowed, tasting salt. That wasn't a spirit? One thinks not. She could hear Shi's frown. Had it been a creature of that other world, the young prince would not have fared so badly. No spirit strikes at a dragon child and walks away unscathed. And that just grabbed her heart and squeezed. Strikes? Zuko's dead. Dead, and it was all her friend's fault. She couldn't believe Aang had done that after all his spirity blah blah about life being precious. Didn't want to kill anyone. Sure, don't want to kill Ozai, who was all kinds of scary bad, but when it came to Zuko?
Are you certain?
She couldn't see this ghost unless he wanted her to see him. Didn't stop her from making a real good guess where the front of his shirt would be and grabbing. Talk! Urk! She squirmed to loosen phantasmal cloth from his throat.
Toph, Prince Zuko is a dragon child with an unfinished task. If the Avatar's strike or the fall had killed him.
Bingo, Toph got out. One really ticked off ghost. It hurt so much. You think?
I cannot be sure, she warned. But I do not know that he is dead. And if there is one thing all the world knows of Sozin's line, it is that they are very hard to kill. Zuko, were that spirit unhoused from mortal flesh and bone, I think that I would know. I think we all would know.
It hurt to hope, more than anything. Then, that means he's out there, in the water, and we don't even know where to start looking. And it would have to be looking, darn it. I hate that I can't see in water. I hate it. What good's bending if I can't find my friends when they need me?
Ah, little one. Toph.
Cool fingers brushed her hot cheek.
Even for those with eyes, finding a life cast to the ocean is no easy task. Without knowledge of the tides and winds, one might as well search for one spilled grain in a firestorm. And at night, Red and black vanish in the darkness, especially when wet. Now the chill rested on top of her head. If he lives, he does need you. To stay safe and keep your friends from foolishness. I can protect the waterbenders now that I know there is a threat. So long as they are here, outside these walls, my strength cannot venture. A puff of air, like a breath of autumn in summer's heat. You are of an age to learn the first rule of rescues, and that is this. Do not become another victim. Before you can save another, you must know you can save yourself. Toph sniffed, pulled on an angry face. She wasn't crying, no matter how messed up this was. You're saying I can't help him? And her voice was not wobbling. It wasn't. I am saying, young Master of Earth, that if your friend yet lives, he thanks Agni that he is in the water and you are not, she said sternly. These are Fire Nation waters. He has traveled among these islands, swum these seas. If any of you would have a chance to survive this, he would. But I felt Aang hit him. Toph could barely get the words out. She could feel that shock through the floor as Zuko had been blown off his feet. Still hear the eerie silence before the distant splash. He hit him really hard. I know. She gathered her into his arms. I know.